Welcome to the Move Minds podcast. And now here are your hosts, Bill Alvsted and Sherry Koretke. Hi, and welcome to the Move Minds Global podcast. This is our fifth podcast, and welcome to July. I am Bill Alvsted, and I am here with Sherry Koretke. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Bill.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
I'm really good.
Survived that heat wave yesterday.
Really hot here in Portland, Oregon. We got up to, what, 98?
98, yeah.
That's a little hot. Today is supposed to be back down to normal-ish, mid-80s, so that's good.
Good.
So what did we want to cover today, Sherry? Sounds like it might be a Bill-centric podcast, but
yeah, it's your turn.
I'm not exactly sure what's going on. I'm not prepared, and I've not been forewarned exactly everything that we're going to talk about, but let's go for it.
Well, today we want to talk about your article about becoming a social purpose citizen. And I wanted to start out by asking you some questions about your baseball coaching.
Sure.
Volunteer work. I thought that was really interesting and maybe proved a point of different ways you can contribute to helping out in the community. So, you know, give us a little background on how you started coaching and why.
Well, I coach baseball primarily. I have coached soccer before and a little bit of football, some basketball, but baseball is kind of a passion of mine. I've played baseball for a number of years, not softball, but hard pitch, fast pitch baseball, in a men's league, that is located here in Portland, but is also affiliated with a league that's nationwide. I started playing baseball when I was a kid, 8 years old, I think is my first team, and, was pretty good at it. It was kind of one of a natural athlete kind of a guy that played football, basketball, baseball, track, that sort of thing. And I had some really good coaches that had a lot of impact on me, that went beyond just playing the game. Guys that would lead you with expectations of being a good person, of having good character, of being a good teammate, a good sportsman within a game. I was also blessed with kind of a leadership mentality that I think I've somehow always had. I'm not exactly sure where that comes from, but I was always voted team captain on my school teams, most inspirational. So I've had these kind of inspirational and intrinsic leadership abilities when I've been on teams. So fast forward then to adulthood and ultimately having a family, having children. Was always interested in being able to give some of that back. I had not been a tremendous volunteer up until, let's just say, 20 years ago. Obviously younger, maturity level. I mean, I was always a pretty mature guy, but I didn't really take the time to volunteer or mentor other people. It was more about, let's get my own career going and so forth. And I think a lot of adults kind of think that way. And I certainly don't, wouldn't look at anybody wrong for doing that. It's just one of those things. But I think you get to a certain point, I think it probably happens after you have kids, where things change, priorities change, you see the world with different eyes. At that point, you kind of, you want to be involved, you want to give back, you see opportunities for maybe passing on some of the things that you have been taught. And so that kicked in with me, and I started coaching, volunteered to coach, and I wanted to be able to give back in the same way that some of the coaches gave back to me, not just with the skill sets, because I can do that all day long, but it was with the idea of being a good person, being a good teammate to your own teammates on your own team, mm-hmm. but also being mindful of the kids from the other teams. And usually in Little League, you're playing kids from your own communities. So eventually these kids are growing up in the same community, will eventually go to the same schools and be together on the same teams. So you want to treat everybody like you would want to be treated, I think. And so that's become really, really important for me. And I also do reading at school. I'm have the opportunity to have a home office, so I have flexible time. And I've kind of done that on purpose in the last 15, 20 years to be able to have that time to have an opportunity to volunteer at the school. And that way I can kind of keep track of my own kids a little bit. I can be involved. It really doesn't take that much time and effort, to be completely honest. It's a half hour a week reading to the kids at school, or to have them read to back to you. And it's just a little thing that gives me a good feeling that I'm giving something back. And it helps the teacher out and helps the kids. And so that's awesome.
How did this experience lead to this article that you wrote about social purpose citizen, and why was that so important to you?
Well, I think the big takeaway with us so far is that since October, when we really kind of started down this path specifically, we have been focused, and I think the whole social good industry is focused in general on businesses and the social purpose economy, or the social good economy, if you will, and social entrepreneurs and et cetera. And this movement really isn't about them, if you will. It's really about individual people. It's about teachers and kids and parents and doctors and lawyers and other community activists and people in city governments that can give back in a lot of different ways that aren't at all related to business, that don't necessarily have a dollar value attached, but have a community and citizenship involvement down to that level. So when I coined the term social purpose citizen, it's exactly what it says. It's that we have kind of an unwritten obligation as citizens in a community, in a society, to be able to work together to solve problems, to create solutions, to provide good outcomes for different things, all the way down to volunteering to coach baseball, or to read at the school, or to donate to the women's shelter, or a food pantry. So there are many different things and many different opportunities to volunteer, to mentor, to give back in little and subtle ways. But when you add them up all together, it creates a tighter knit community that works better for more people.
You mentioned in the article that you saw it also starting from even just, you know, like Starbucks has their pay back, you know, you pay for the coffee from, you know, the person in back in line of you. So what else do you see a social purpose citizen doing at that level? You know, opening doors, you know, checking on
neighbors.
Well,
there's just a certain civility that goes along with being in a community. And, you know, it's something that's so simple, having somebody buy you coffee that doesn't know you. And I've had that happen to me. And the effect on me is actually profound. It may not be as profound on some people. Some people might just completely brush it off as not being really important. But for me, it told me that I have hope, that I'm not just the only one that wants to think like that, that wants things to be like that for other people. So it instills hope for me, in a belief in my fellow man, my fellow citizen, that we are capable of doing more than maybe what we're doing right now. And I want to make people aware by writing, you know, for our website, by having a podcast. We're in the process of writing a book. I want to make people aware that they can make a change in people's lives, in communities, by starting small, by coaching, by reading, by opening a door, by buying somebody a drink at Starbucks. These sound pretty simple, but they make a pretty big impact.
Yeah, that what you're talking about brought up a story that I have about being downtown Portland, and I was going to a workshop down there, and a homeless guy walked up and asked if I would buy coffee. And my first reaction was, oh, you know, I don't think so, you know, and I kind of ignored him. And then something came over me that made me think, why not? You know, why am I dehumanizing him just because he's homeless and he didn't have any money to buy coffee? And I thought, you know, am I being a little bit judgmental in the thought that he doesn't need coffee, he needs water or something like that? You know, I had little thoughts go through my mind. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, you know, buy him a cup of coffee and surprise him and, you know, give him a little bit of a joy, you know. So he didn't know it was coming. So I walked out and handed him the coffee, and the smile on his face was so heartwarming. And it made me realize that we tend to put up barriers between each other, and we want to label people as bad, or, you know, some they might cause harm, or, you know, they're just trying to get something from you. And it's just simple little acts of showing that we're all connected and we're all human. That's really, really important. It's far more than just sharing simple things. It's also the effect that we get from them. Don't you think? It's more about the feelings, the compassion, the empathy.
Well, it certainly comes back to you. I mean, what we're talking about here in as a social purpose and having social good outcomes and all of that stuff. This is the primary objective, obviously, is to help other people or to help a situation that we see occurring out in the community, out in the world. But if it didn't have an impact on us, I don't think that we'd be doing it. And so this is something that is for us. It is inherently human to have those feelings and to want to do good things, I think. And that's what we're really talking about.
Yes, it comes right down to that, actually. What other ways can people contribute? You know, we've talked about a few things on several of our articles, but I sometimes think we need to go a little bit deeper than that. How about volunteering in schools, or, you know, looking for particular ways to improve a park? Or,
well, I think everyone has an idea of what they're good at. Let's start there.
Yes.
Let's find out what we're really good at. I know my wife's really good at finance. You know, she's talked about volunteering to teach a finance class to the high school kids. I've got friends that are really good at fixing teeth. You know, I got a couple of friends that are dentists. A couple of those guys, one in particular, does a lot of community outreach. He's got, in fact, he's invested in, you know, fairly substantial tents and so forth. And they have, they appear at like Music in the Park events and other sort of social events where community get together. He's got a large presence there. He has a chair where he will offer free service at that moment to help somebody out without being paid. Just, you know, if you're in a situation where you might need dental work, to just offer like a free consultation. He also, you know, has kind of a roulette wheel type of thing where, you know, kids particularly will spin the wheel and get toothbrushes and all sorts of other, you know, fun things. So I think he's really good at that. He's really good at putting himself out there and going out in the community and doing these things. And I think that's awesome. And it doesn't stop there. We can be good at multiple different things, but pick one of them and go have fun with it. I know a couple of landscaping friends that own landscaping businesses that lead community cleanup efforts. So when a community has a cleanup effort, they're out there with their trucks. They get their guys on their teams, landscaping teams, to lead groups of citizens on cleaning up properties. We can be involved and do things like that on a local level, micro level, with a couple of hours on a Saturday.
You brought up an excellent point. We tend to think that we need to volunteer our money or, you know, certain time, but volunteering our skills and whatever kind of resources we have with a business or a career is actually an excellent way of giving back to a community. You could be a parent that shows up for a career day and talk about your careers and, you know, showcase, you know, what it takes to become a doctor or a dentist or, you know, a surgeon or whatever it is. Thank you for bringing that up, because sometimes we lose track of what might be really valuable that we have to give, and besides our time,
sure,
it's, you know, passing down skills that are needed.
Sure. Well, I recently just met with a group of like-minded individuals in downtown Portland, looking at possibly putting some sort of networking style group together, and there are people with huge talents out there, and they've all got great ideas, but each one of those people have the ability to volunteer in different ways. And some people are just natural born leaders, and their ability to bring people together to solve problems. I mean, if you're good at that, that's what you do. If you're a really good listener, you know, people need those sorts of people as well, to create momentum. Anybody has some sort of skill, including all of our kids. I think that if there's one resource that is underutilized in this country right now, today, it is our children. They have a huge capacity to be able to participate in lots of different levels in the cleanup effort that I was just describing. That kids love to help out in those sorts of things. When you're volunteering for, say, a reading program at the library, there's no reason why kids can't be the ones that actually do the reading. If you've got a 9, 10, or 11-year-old that reads at adult level, he should be the one that's doing the reading. It's great practice for him. It gets him out into the community. It makes him feel better. And he's helping out kids that are only 3 or 4 years old, younger than he is. So I think that gives, and it sets that person up, that child up, for a lifetime of giving because of that impact that you make at that age. So I could go on and on. I really could. I mean, there's literally an endless supply of opportunity out there. The short supply is the leadership of putting all of this together. And Sherry and I have talked about that, is that, in fact, that's why we're doing what we're doing, is that we see kind of a shortfall of all of these things coalescing into a big movement. There's a lot of people that are doing a lot of good things, and hooray for those people. I'll applaud them all day long. But a lot of it is just uncoordinated. There's not a coordinated effort out there, and we have some pretty sizable issues. And if we had a coordinated effort, if we had a coordinated movement of like-minded individuals that are out there that are creating a momentum, that's what we would like to do. That's what we would like to see, and that's what we're advocating for.
Perfect. I think that we learned that volunteering, using your skills, I think also finding a best fit for your time, the amount of money you want to donate or, you know, give back. There's so many different ways of looking at this whole issue of being a citizen. Like you said, we could go on and on. It could also be, you know, our driving habits. You know, how mm-hmm. do we treat fellow drivers? Are we cutting him off? Are we, you know, it just could, I don't know how long we could go on.
Well, I mean, one more thing that I would add, and you just, with regards to being a social purpose citizen, is we all, you know, go to work. A lot of us need money to exist. Be mindful of the kind of companies that you want to go to work for. Be cognizant of their efforts in sustainability, in mentoring, in volunteering. A lot of companies right now do have existing programs to encourage those things, to create good social good outcomes. And many employees are gravitating towards those companies, but there are many dozens and dozens, hundreds of companies that really have no clue, just have no idea that this even exists. They will shortly, though, I believe, understand this. There is a movement out here that would like to see those sorts of options be available to employees to be able to volunteer, to mentor with an organization that stands with them, not necessarily against them, on looking at them unfavorably for doing these things.
Let's talk about the part in the article where you mentioned about responsibility, and that word pops up in this movement where we should, you know, that is labeled that we have a certain amount of responsibility as citizens, as businesses. What does that mean exactly? Because I'm afraid that if we say should, or, you know, use words like responsibility, people will back off and think, you know,
well, why am I responsible? I hope that people wouldn't back off. I think it's an obligation. When I was born in this country, I have an obligation as a citizen of the United States of America to be a citizen. And I think it's not something that's an absolute. It's not something that's required. It's not like, I've volunteered to be in the military, for example. It's more of an obligation to create a civil society, to be together. And it's not nationalistic, so to speak. It's more about just being a good person within a society, obeying laws and rules and standards and so forth. That's part of it, yes.
Voting,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. I was just going to say, lead up to that, mm-hmm. that voting is a obligation, I think, that we take far too lightly in this country when we're really only seeing, you know, generally 50, maybe 60% of the population vote in general elections, when it's one of the pinnacle of being a citizen and having a voice. It's a luxury to be able to vote. We take it for granted in this country, and we shouldn't. Our entire country is based on the fact that we're free. And so that's awesome.
That is awesome. Well, I think that with freedom does come a little bit of responsibility. I mean, we do need to take it a little bit more seriously and teach our children, you know, that we're in charge of this world and where we live and our communities. And, you know, you can't sit around and complain about them. You need to go out there, sure, and, you know, make a difference somehow. You know, we can't be a nation of talkers. We need to be a nation of doers too.
Well, and I think that's part of the focus that we have had, is that we don't want to depend on a government to create solutions for a lot of these things. And quite frankly, we don't need a big government to create solutions for a lot of the issues that we have as a community and as a society. Those solutions can be had by banding a group of citizens together to create good outcomes on our own, without having to wait for a quite frankly, dysfunctional situation that currently exists. So if we take it into our own hands by working through a social purpose economy, if you will, which is one way that we can do it, creating good outcomes by virtue of having companies allow their employees to participate in mentoring opportunities and volunteering opportunities, in creating sustainability type products, creating products that in and of themselves do social good, but also giving back portions of profit to social good outcomes. All of those things kind of go around government to create benefit directly. And that's a conservative, fiscally conservative idea. And I think that it should be embraced because it creates an opportunity for us to be independent and to create stronger solutions are more inclusive of a larger swath of individuals and contributors into those outcomes. And I think when you do that, the bond that you create in your community and the strength of the solution is better.
I think once we start all thinking about what we can do to make any kind of difference in our lives and in other people's lives, we step up and become more leadership, not leadership, we become more leaders. And we also have more innovation and creativity popping up. We have solutions that need to come out. And why we started this was because we thought the more people who are involved and the more people who started collaborating with each other, I love that word, collaborating, the more that we would be able to instigate change, because we see a sense of momentum being created by people stepping up and taking leadership roles. And I don't mean formal leadership, but just taking leadership of their lives and in their communities.
In the part and, that they can contribute. And
that they can contribute, exactly. You know, we see a bunch of visionaries popping up everywhere, you know, saying, hey, I see something different and I see something getting better and I'm going to step up and do something to help, you know, move it along. That's one of our goals anyway, to spur people along with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, because we definitely want to do. We're not here to just talk. Talking is awesome. Sherry and I do. We love to talk. Yeah. And we have talked about these issues for a long period of time. It is about, however, getting results and making it happen on the ground. And that's where we would like to focus, is really creating something that gives people a platform to be able to get things done, come together, get things done.
Sounds good. How are we doing on time?
I think we're doing okay. Are we done? You've got all the questions that you kind of wanted to throw out there.
But something's bugging me about what I said about the helping a homeless person out. And I wanted to make it clear that when you're a woman alone in a downtown setting, you tend to put up barriers around yourself and you tend to like close off and, you know.
I'll give you another example that'll make you feel better.
Okay, good. Because I was thinking, you know, I'm really a compassionate person. But when I was alone in a downtown area and I was in a hurry and I wasn't in that mindset and all, you know, and then, you know, waiting in line made me think, you know, wait a minute, you know, maybe you need to stop being so fearful, you know, take a little bit of a risk here and see how it can make a difference for somebody.
Sure.
You know, the like I said, that smile on his face was just, you know, it was worth all the little inner struggles that I had there.
Sure. So absolutely. And I think that you're certainly not alone in
that's why I brought
the
it up,
immediate reaction that you have. I just did this last weekend. I don't even think I told you. Well, maybe I did tell you. Our car got hit in the parking lot. It was just a scrape. I mean, it ended up being about $700 worth of damage. So not a huge thing on a bumper, but we were in a coffee shop and we walked out and there was this teenage kid and he looked kind of, you know, like he wasn't up to any good really. He was kind of hanging around, loitering around the parking lot. And I was like, uh-oh, here we go. What am I going to have to say to like get this kid to go away? Because I've got my family there and I didn't really want him asking for money or causing a distraction or mouthing off or whatever. And I've had that happen before in the past too. Whatever. I should have treated this kid a little bit more with more respect, but I just said no before he really even talked to me. And I kind of just cut him off and didn't let him do his thing. Well, what happened was is he was standing around waiting for me to come out to tell me that he'd hit my car, you know, and I immediately feel shameful that I reacted the way that I did. I wasn't aggressive about it. I wasn't an ass, but I wasn't open and receptive to him as a person. And quite frankly, I thought it was pretty amazing that he stood out there for probably 5-10 minutes waiting for me to and my family to appear so that he could be honest and tell me forthright that he had created this situation. So it's not just you, Sherry. We all need to work on our own perceptions and our own realities out there that maybe we do need to be a little bit more open to our fellow people.
And you just brought up a great story with the point that he stayed around and took responsibility for that. And those kind of stories aren't really spread. We tend to want to have some sort of sweeping view of teens or certain groups of people. And
absolutely.
And we need to realize that there are people within these groups that will step up and be responsible and, you know, good citizens. And we need to recognize them. You know, absolutely. It's not, you know, it's, but yes, it, this whole movement part is also breaking down misconceptions and getting past our fears and connecting with people.
Absolutely, Sherry. Cool. I couldn't have said it better myself. So with that, I think we'll wrap up today and we'll hit it again next week. Thank you so much and very insightful questions. And it was a pleasure to speak about those things and can't wait until next time.
Yes. Wonder what we'll be talking about next week.
Let's find out. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Bye.
To learn more about our movement to create a social purpose culture, visit our website at movemindsglobal.com. There you can listen to more podcasts, read articles, catch up on the latest news, and visit our ever-growing research center.